Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I can't drink tonight. My therapist said, no drinking for you tonight, Deuce. And you're thinking, well, Deuce, are you okay? Are you having some issues? No, I did some EDMR therapy where you like you tap like this.
And then what do you talk about when you tap?
Okay.
Kings basketball.
No, here's the thing. You want to reprocess some like bad things that maybe happened. So like here, you tap. Close your eyes and tap. Close your eyes and tap. Okay. All right, Morgan.
Yeah.
Tap a little faster, too.
Oh, seriously?
I want you to think about like the this? Emotions. Close your eyes and shut up.
Oh, I don't think a therapist would say that.
Close your eyes and I want you to really think about what were you feeling when the Kings' 10-point lead evaporated and Jokic hit that three? Sit with that for a second. I want you to, wherever your mind leads you, go there.
Should I say it?
Yes.
Disappointment, hurt.
Okay.
Physical pain in my heart.
Okay.
But I wasn't like angry disappointed because I was proud.
Okay. You see, that's
is what it does.
I guess.
Did I do an okay job?
I probably shouldn't be doing that. I'm not a licensed therapist. I was doing an impersonation of my therapist. And after doing that, they tell you, hey, no more drink. Don't drink tonight because you reprocess a lot of shit. No more, no little edibles or anything like that. I'm like, hey, it's a Monday night, therapist. Who do you think I am? Some sort of animal?
The tapping, does it get like blood flowing or is something? Because that was weird.
I didn't study it.
I feel good.
Oh.
I didn't study it. I'm not a licensed therapist.
Well, I didn't want to make it seem like I was making light of it either.
I knew you weren't, but thank I guess, you. Yes, all of you at home should know that absolutely he wasn't. I love new tools.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
The pain, Morgan.
For real.
How am I supposed to feel tonight? The Sacramento Kings were on the home floor taking on, in my opinion, the best player in the game. There. Jokic in town. The Nuggets. Skilled, but also flawed. The Kings shorthanded. No Keegan Murray. No Kevin Huerter. Trey Lyles still out. Okay, that's problematic. Some size out. What's more problematic is getting down 23 in the first quarter. Being down 20 at the end of one, it's 41-21. You're looking around going, what the hell is happening? But the Kings respond with a monster second quarter, 47 points. That was a season high in that quarter. And it got rolling. How about the third quarter for Sacramento? Outscoring Denver 35-21. Kings are feeling good. They're up 10 with 3:55 to go. But Jokic, Murray, too much. Big plays down the stretch. A big three from Aaron Gordon. Jokic hits his first three of the night, which was a crucial one. The Kings had a chance to win it at the buzzer. An incredible play. A two-man action between Fox, Sabonis. Aaron Gordon comes over and helps off DeMar DeRozan, who's cutting baseline. Sabonis feeds him. The ball is fumbled. DeMar gathers. Turnaround jumper for the win. Kings lose. 130-129, a challenging game for the Sacramento Kings that they had up 10 with 3:55 to play, but Denver scores 21 points in that stretch to prevail. The Kings are now 13-14 and 6-8 at the home floor, on the home floor, with the Lakers coming to town for two later this week. I'm Juice Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing?
I'm good. I've kind of decompressed a little bit.
Okay.
You know, we do the post game show on NBC before doing this, and right, the instant reaction right after the game was just all over the place. I hate that feeling.
You know what? I'm just so mad at myself right now.
Oh no,
Raw! Hey, Raw in the
chat. Oh no,
how come?
I see it.
Is Raw the first person to mention that the lower third I had the Kings winning?
Take accountability. Do not blame people for not, dude. That's embarrassing. Like, that hurts. That's so wrong of you.
I mean, I had everything else right.
It was like, hey, this is what I want, so I'm just gonna shove it on there.
How come no one pointed that out? We've been on for 20 minutes.
For anyone, any of our listeners, our lower third on the YouTube live conversation says that the Kings won 130-129.
Okay.
That's screwed up.
What are you talking about?
Oh, quick change. There you go.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Morgan, but that was a little frustrating for me.
So going back to my emotions.
130-129.
Yeah. When you're like, I mean, listen, it was a game. It's a game of runs. It was a game of emotions, this one, because the beginning from what happened there, and we'll go over it, to then crawling back, being down 7 at the half, and being like, oh, could this really turn? Could this really turn? It turns. Then you have a 10-point lead, whatever it was. Yep. And then it just, the trading baskets back and forth, you still had confidence in this Kings team. So then you're entertained by this game, but it's crushing because your team didn't win. So I'm just like, I'm in a place where I don't know how I feel tonight, but it's not great, but it's not awful.
7 lead changes in the final minute 15. 7 lead changes in the final minute 15 seconds of this game. Denver gets the win. Yeah, I'm with you because there were things tonight that like fired me up from a good perspective. I loved Sabonis's game. I thought Keon Ellis provided some awesome energy. Monk really got the Kings back in it with his pace. But the end result is like you have to execute. Like, do we start with the first quarter or when you're up 10? I mean, the first quarter, what was so frustrating is you decide to go with a lineup with Doug McDermott in it, okay?
Yeah.
I see the thinking, and it's for offensive spacing. And McDermott knocked down some shots tonight.
Hell yeah.
A lot of credit to him for stepping up and knocking down shots and giving the Kings some offense. But I'm looking at it like, man, this is a bit challenging because you're without Lyles, who's 6'9", Keegan's 6'8", and Herter 6'7". So three of your bigger guys on the roster are not in uniform tonight. Yeah. And you go with McDermott, who is not known as a defensive player, and you're probably leaning into the offense a bit here. But what's problematic is this front line that Denver has when you've got Porter, Gordon, and Jokic up front. And early on in this game, I don't necessarily think it was all a size thing. It's a mentality thing. And Denver was getting all the 50-50 balls. The Kings would make a good defensive play, get a deflection. They could not come up with it. Or the fact that Gordon had 4 offensive rebounds in like the first 4 minutes of this game. And it just set the tone for Denver. They were relentless. And then the Kings had trouble defending on the perimeter. I thought the guards got into the paint far too often in this game. And then you have to help. And then what do you know? You're all messed up. You know, you can't get a rebound because like Sabonis is up helping. That's or your other big. It was crushing. And you got off to a terrible start. And then on the other end, I felt like they couldn't make shots early. And they were throwing the ball everywhere.
Yeah. The chaotic play to start the game, there was no flow. And then for them to play with the type of pace that they did later on in the game and going up against a team that is, what, second in fast break points in the league?
Yep.
So also, can play with pace, can push the ball off a lot of misses. What?
I think they're number one in fast break points.
Number one in fast break
Number two in points in the paint.
So just right up there, okay? And you look at number two in the paint, well, they had 76 points in the paint tonight. And Deuce and I were just discussing the rebounding, right? And just being able to make sure that you weren't allowing these second chance opportunities, 15 offensive boards that only led to 9 second chance points. But at the same time, it was the amount that it felt like it was deflating the Sacramento Kings at times, or them not being able to get a rebound and push the ball out and go. You know, it's just all those little things matter. And then obviously this Nuggets team, like we said, scoring in the paint tonight, cleaning things up, and just it wasn't like they were getting just easy shots. I thought the Kings' defensive effort came up and did a much better job, but it's like we said, the resistance on along the perimeter to not allow them to just work whatever thing that they wanted to get into the middle, to get into the paint. It was difficult.
They needed to play more physical from the jump.
Yeah.
They need to be locked in, bump guys, and not make it so easy for them to get in the paint. And look, like you said, they are so good at points in the paint, no doubt about it, but 76 is an absurd number. That's outrageous.
It's a lot.
That's far too easy, especially for a team that doesn't take a lot of threes either. And they knew what the game plan was. Like, this team wants to get out and run. They want to get into the paint, and the Kings had no answer.
And didn't Mike Malone say that they had the most backdoor cuts that they had than in any other game?
Yeah.
Something along those lines? Because, I mean, the way that they were moving without the basketball, and then Jokic finishing with the triple double, 13 assists. I mean, a lot of that is him finding the open man, right?
And that's the thing. It's not being locked in. It's too much ball watching. I mean, Strother got it going. That was the other thing. The others got it going. Like, I watched his game tonight, and I loved how Sabonis competed against Jokic. Those guys were matched up the entire game with each other for the most part. When Sabonis was in the game, I think he played a few more minutes. Then Jokic ends up with 38 minutes. Sabonis
42
played just under 42 minutes in this game. And I thought Sabonis made him work. He was digging at the ball when Jokic had it.
It was fun.
He was taking the bumps. He was defending with his chest, arms out, just disciplined defense. And I thought he did the best he could with Jokic to make life more challenging. And that's all you can do against the best player in the game. All you can do is make life more challenging. But the problem is the others dominated this game. Like, Strother came in some of the non-Jokic minutes, and he impacted the game, getting to the cup at will, hitting big shots, right?
Yeah.
Westbrook, he was one rebound shy of a triple-double himself. He seemingly always plays well against Sacramento. And Denver's so good at, like, setting screens, off ball, moving without the ball. You have to be locked in. You have to bump them. And there wasn't enough of that tonight for Sacramento.
We went into this game, too, being like, okay, can you slow down Jokic and let the others beat you? So Jokic isn't having, you know, a 50-point game and letting the others beat you. But it's like you just said, the others dominated. And that's what was difficult to see at times. It's like you said, getting to the basket at will. Russell Westbrook had some amazing takes.
8 of 13 shooting for Westbrook.
Yeah, and it was tough to see that dominant type of play from the rest of this Nuggets team when I'm watching the Nuggets in all of these other games on League Pass, and it just feels like it's Jokic and then everyone else, and then a few times there'd be a few plays or a few games where you know, Michael Porter Jr. is just like knocking down all of his shots or whatever it may be. And in this one, it just felt like equal scoring, really good, dominant play from a lot of different guys on the Denver Nuggets.
I can't help but just look at the Kings' depth, too, after games like this, because when you're missing those guys I mentioned, Keegan and Herter and Lyles, if you just had another wing, I mean, if you just had another wing tonight, how much would that help you? And so you're playing severely undersized basketball tonight. Like, you don't have a ton of size out there. And like, even if you throw in Isaac Jones, Isaac's still a rookie. He's going to make mistakes, and he made some mistakes tonight. Okay. Jay Crowder, Jay is undersized too. And you saw him trying to like close out on Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon got right by him to get to the rim. You should be able to play a game without those guys if you have the right roster around, right? Like to, if you have the right depth. And they just didn't have enough size either. And so, you know, it puts you in some compromising positions. But you could talk about all of that forever. The reality is they had a chance to win this game tonight, even being down 41-21 at the end of the first quarter. So you fast forward, and I thought the Kings did have moments of playing better defense. I thought Keon Ellis had moments tonight with his strips, his steals. He ends up in this game with, was it 5 blocks at the end? He had 5 blocks. He had 2 steals, 3 deflections, Morgan. That's a fantastic number.
Wow, you see, I have 4 blocks on mine, but either way, doesn't matter. I mean, he was, like you said, active hands, stripping everything, just getting in there, getting those deflections. I loved his activity tonight, and I thought he made such an impact, which is why he also probably saw a lot of minutes. Not just because Kevin Huerter was out.
Yeah.
I think it was also the way that he was playing. 5 for 5 at the free throw line. I mean, just a solid game from Keon Ellis being out there. And you talk about some of the other guys, too. I just want to mention Colby Jones, although you look at his stat line, and you're like, okay, well, what did he really do? I thought his activity and the way he was disrupting, at times it felt a little chaotic, but it felt like it was the energy that was needed when guys weren't doing their job, or the energy wasn't there, or they were down. And so it was nice to see some of those guys off the bench really contribute that type of play in those roles.
Yeah, you just need them to score a little more, you know. But the problem tonight, we can talk about score, whatever. Defensively is where it's at. They couldn't get the stops when it mattered. And, you know, 3:55 to go, you're up 10. You got to win that game on your home floor. You know, the momentum was completely on your side. And, you know, I know Denver went into a zone. I don't think that's what impacted things in this game. I thought the Kings missed some great looks, you know. I thought Fox missed some mid-range looks. DeMar missed some mid-range looks. I thought Monk needed to get more shots. He only took 2 shots in the fourth quarter. Malik is too valuable. He did have 5 assists, too, so he definitely had the ball. But I want Malik to get some looks.
I thought, I know you looked at the Nuggets defense, and you're like, you know, it was a lot of missed shots by the Kings. I agree with that, but I also feel like the Nuggets picked up the intensity of their defense, just getting up a little bit more into guys like on DeMar's shots and everything, trying to be a little bit more physical with them. It's not even like it was the greatest thing in the world, but I just thought maybe that type of energy did disrupt. And then going to the Malik situation, we've seen this before. And we're not saying this after games where DeMar and De'Aaron are just clutch getting theirs. I mean, you saw at the end, De'Aaron doing some big things, knocking down a big three, spin move, getting to the paint, all the different things. But it's more in that big stretch of time. Why is Malik not getting his? Why are we just looking? It's not about like going, it's not like the Kings are just going into ISO and going, okay, 4 flat, like, let me just do my thing. They're still running through different actions and guys are moving, but I feel like those actions are so honed in on like DeMar getting a jumper or De'Aaron going downhill. Yep. And I just think you should keep allowing someone like Malik, who can be so big in these moments, to also be able to get his.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, I just, there's obviously a benefit to having guys like Fox and DeRozan in clutch time, right? You feel comfortable with him taking shots and making decisions, but also like don't ignore the fact that Malik has been so explosive with the basketball and he's meant so much since being injected into the starting lineup. Malik ends up with 25 points, 9 assists in this game, 9 of 19, shooting 4 of 10 from downtown. I just felt like he needed to have a little more control of this game in the fourth quarter and get some good looks, like set him up. He did miss a three. That was a good look, but you know, Like, you miss shots sometimes. I thought some of the looks that Denver got late were just, man,
oh,
it hurt.
My God.
I mean, the Aaron Gordon wide open three.
That sucked. That one hurt. But, like, Jamal Murray coming off that screen of Jokic and De'Aaron navigating the screen pretty well. But Jamal Murray...
on the mid-range
look. Can make a big bucket. And it was just a beautiful midi by Jamal Murray.
Also, the two-man game where Jokic popped out. You know, you have Sabonis and Fox in that coverage, and they're trying to prevent the drive by Murray. Murray swings it to Jokic. Fox tried to recover, but Jokic buried the three.
Pain.
It's just, yeah.
Those moments.
They made the plays down the stretch. They made the shots down the stretch, and Sacramento didn't. And so, I don't know. I'm just, like, going over this game. It's so frustrating for so many reasons because it's like, God, you just need to start winning these games. Like, you got to start winning close games. You got to start winning games at home. And then on the other hand, I'm like, God, man, it's just, there were some good things tonight. So, it's definitely one of those, it's one of those mixed feelings games for sure. And you point to some of the mistakes that were made. First quarter execution in crunch time.
I just going off the emotions being like here and there and kind of everywhere. I was very entertained throughout this game. Obviously, when this game started, I was like, Jesus, this is what we're going to have to watch on a Monday night. This is what we're going to have to talk about after the game. And then the slow comeback, it felt real too. It wasn't just like, oh, you know, the Nuggets are laying them back in, but they've got control. Like, the Kings end up gaining control. And I just thought the resilience of this banged up Kings team that has seen their ups and downs over the season, it was really great to see. Like, if you're going to lose a game, of course you don't want them to go down like that in the first quarter, but I'm glad I saw a type of game where I saw a lot of good happen throughout.
They got to win.
I know, but I can still talk about how entertained I was and how excited I was throughout this one. I mean, literally, 2 minutes left, you and I are talking about what are we going to ask Sabonis after this win? I mean, that feeling, it was such a fun feeling tonight. And I know, and it's like Mike Brown said, there's no consolation prize, you know, like, you don't, who cares? Second place doesn't matter. Like, we lost the game. And I was like, I know, coach, I get it.
Well, speaking of Mike Brown, do you want to hear what Mike Brown had to say after this one?
Yeah.
Mike Brown was not too happy.
Obviously a tough loss. You know, they went zone and I thought we weren't aggressive enough. I thought their zone kind of got us back on our heels, and our level of aggressiveness was not there. Having said that, I thought we had some decent looks. Yeah. DeMar caught an 8-footer, and he was wide open, and it goes in and out. Foxy got to his floater, and it goes in and out. I think Domas might have missed one, too. I probably, you know, if I would have done it all over again, I would have stayed with the same crew. If we got those same looks, if we didn't, I would have definitely thrown Doug in the game at that time, or a little sooner. I thought Keon was doing a hell of a job defensively, mm-hmm. And that's why we stayed the way we stayed. But at the end of the day, you know, our biggest thing we've told these guys is two biggest things. They're the best team in the league in transition, and we did a decent job with that. But just like I talked about us locking into the small details for 48 minutes, the thing that hurt, they scored 76 points in the paint. Mm. 76 points in the bank. And
you repeated it, man.
This is where our team needs to grow sooner than later. We have to lock in. We have to lock into the details. And we got back cut more times in this one game than probably we got back cut all year.
bad.
And it's because our guy on the bottom weak side ball watched. And the thing about it is you guys won't see any of that in the stat sheets. You won't see back cut after back cut after back cut. I'm not going to say the 26 times, but you won't see the back cut in the stat sheet. And until our guys understand that it's about embracing the details for 48 minutes, we're going to be a good team.
Yeah.
But we're not going to be where we need to go.
Yep.
The back cuts tonight, especially play after play after play after play, were inexcusable. First three or four, okay, maybe. And it wasn't always a back cut for a layup. It was a back cut sometimes for a rebound, too.
Yep.
And that's the next level we all have to take, especially our starting five. Starting with Fox, Malik, DeMar, Keegan. We can't afford to not pay attention to the details, especially when you play a good team. And I somehow, some way, have to do a better job of getting that across to my group. We can't let the Denver Nuggets come in here and score 76 points in the paint when they're not throwing the ball to Jokic 55 times. Give a lot of credit to the Nuggets. They came out, they did what they were supposed to do, and they found a way to get a win.
Damn.
Mike, obviously, Domas takes that hard fall. He plays like 42 minutes. I'm just, what kind of effort was needed from him tonight?
We needed a huge effort from everybody, not just Domas. We needed every single man to step up. Whether it's Colby, Isaac, whoever. We needed everybody to step up, and we didn't get enough collectively tonight. Mm.
Mike, in that first quarter, they got out to a 20-point lead. Just, and was the team not prepared coming out, or was it something? Where did you see they didn't perform in that first quarter specifically?
Look at the first three possessions. Mm. First three possessions, we gave up three offensive rebounds. There's nothing that you could do as a coach or anybody on the bench in situations like that, except each man on the floor has got to box out. That's where it started, and that's where it snowballed. Give our guys credit. I give them a lot of credit. They fought their way back in the game. There was a sense of physicality from the guys coming off the bench, starting with Kobe Jones, Keon Ellis, and whoever else played. There was a level of physicality that we didn't start with at the beginning of the game. There was a level of focus that we didn't start with at the beginning of the game. And again, that's where we as a group have to figure out, are we going to really embrace the details? It's hard to box out, especially when you got guys crashing like they're crashing. Am I going to do it for 48 minutes? Or I'm going to wait and see if a teammate gets it. Or am I not going to hit a guy like I'm supposed to? We can't wait to turn it on. Teams are too good in this league.
Mm. Thought it was interesting how he talked about the details and being like, I got to find a way to make them understand the details for 48 minutes. And we've already seen his coaching style where it's, you make a mistake if you have a short leash. You sit on the bench. Like, there are ways that he has this coaching style of just being very disciplined, and his standards are super high. And that's like, hey, this is the way you're going to learn. You've seen people learn, like Malik Monk, and his game has taken a leap in details and not being chaotic. And you look at some of the other guys, and it's like, how does he get it through their heads? You know, like, Sabonis, and whether it's a turnover or, I mean, I mentioned that, but I think it's like other guys putting a body on someone, not letting those backdoor cuts happen, and not all the time for a basket, but even putting a body on them so they don't get the rebound. Like, those details just have to matter every second you have to be locked in.
Well, and I think it goes to a larger point, too, is like the Kings scored 129 points tonight,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That should be good enough to win.
Yeah.
And there's always this obsession, like, oh, you got to score. You got to score. And it's like, yeah, for sure. You got to be able to score in this league. But it doesn't matter. If you score 129 points and lose, you're doing something wrong. The Warriors last night hit 27 threes and lost to Dallas because they're not getting the defensive stops. In Sacramento tonight, that was problematic, and that's what's crazy. Yeah, you still had a chance to win. You're up 10, yeah. But not locking in on those details, that matters. Now, I think my one pushback with what Mike's saying, though, is like, look at the guys you have out there. I'm sorry, but you've got DeMar DeRozan trying to deal with Aaron Gordon and Doug McDermott trying to deal with Michael Porter, and Sabonis has to deal with Jokic. That's a tough assignment. That's a really tough assignment. And I don't know, like, what's the better option here, right? Like, could you start Jay Crowder? Sure, but Jay Crowder struggled a little bit tonight too.
Yeah.
Do you go with Isaac Jones, the youth? He's a rookie. I don't think he has good answers on the roster. And I get it, as a coach, he's not going to sit up there and blame those things. He's not going to go up there and be like, well, if I just had some more size and wings, maybe things are different. Like, he's not going to say those things. But I'm going to look at this and go, yeah. I mean, if you had a Dorian Finney-Smith tonight, like, does that help? You know? A Cam Thomas, does that help? I have to imagine that would help a little bit. So, your margin for error is slim. And even though those guys were out, they still had chances to win. It's disappointing. And like I said, there was so much good tonight. We haven't spent enough time talking about Sabonis, by the way. Sabonis, 28 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists on 12 of 20 shooting. And he was fantastic on Jokic tonight. Jokic still had a triple-double. And if you didn't watch the game and you looked at the box, you're like, man, Jokic killed the Kings tonight. Jokic is such a great player that tonight's game, this triple-double wasn't one that you went, oh, what an epic performance. Like, Sabonis worked his ass off this whole game.
He did.
And he was playing physical, digging for the ball.
Yep, the activity from Sabonis, but also I just thought the strength, the ability to stay with him, with his chest, throughout this entire game.
3 fouls the whole game.
And that's it. I mean, how many times throughout the years have we seen Sabonis with his hands and get in foul trouble and not be able to stay on the floor? And you said, you asked Sabonis the other day at practice, like, what do you need to do against Jokic? And he's like, stay on the floor. Like, I just need to make sure I'm staying on the floor. And that's exactly what he did. And he did that. And it made such a huge impact for the entire Kings defense at times. And that's what sucked when everyone else wasn't doing their job and paying attention to the details of their assignment.
Man.
I know.
Tough one.
I know. But yeah, but I'm with you. I think Sabonis deserves all the love for what he did tonight. And even on the offensive end, just remaining aggressive. It doesn't matter how long guys are. He does such a great job battling through those arms. It was great.
Kings were out-rebounded tonight, 56-42 overall. Mm-hmm. Denver had a +4 advantage on offensive rebounds. Denver hit 10 of 29 from three. Kings actually hit 2 more threes than them. Both teams shot around the same percentage, 49% for Denver, 48% for Sacramento. But yeah, Denver's points in the paint were just, 76-58. And the Kings, 58, that's a good number for Sacramento. It actually made me want to look at this.
What?
Points in the paint for Jokic tonight. Jokic had 14 points in the paint. Westbrook in the paint tonight.
That's tough.
8 of 10.
Yep.
And some of that was crashing. Westbrook tonight had 16 points in the paint. That's a brutal number.
Some of that was just going to the rim with force. Yep. Just pure force.
Strother, I talked about him. He had 10 points in the paint on 5 of 8 shooting.
Damn.
Murray, 10 points on 5 of 12 shooting in the paint. I mean, those are brutal numbers. Gordon, 16 points in the paint on 8 of 11.
And that's
that one makes a little more sense because of the size. But
the guard ones are frustrating because you go, oh, it's not because of just not having big bodies in there and rim protection. Sure, that could also be something very helpful to disrupt someone driving to the basket. But the ability of someone to stay in front of some of these guys and make them change direction and not give them some of the angles that they had going to the basket. Like, that's where it was frustrating at times. Mm. I know.
I can't wait to do a film breakdown on that one, Morgan. Oh. To look at it. I mentioned this a little bit ago. What did you think of the fact that they went with Doug McDermott in the starting lineup? Did it surprise you a bit? Did you think it should have been someone else? What was kind of your thought? I'm never surprised anymore.
Yeah. You know, I think we don't really know what Mike Brown is going to do at times when it comes to the starting lineup, when someone is out, when, you know, Keegan Murray was out tonight. And he went with Doug McDermott. I think sometimes he goes, okay, can I get some offense plus some size? I don't even think he thinks necessarily Doug's going to have a great closeout on somebody, but I think he's just like, can I get some size in there? And it didn't bother me. I think in some ways I go with Keon Ellis. Like, that's someone that we've seen in the starting lineup, but then you're really going small at that point, you know? So I understand the thought process with this, but with every single matchup, it feels like the Kings are always going to be the smaller team.
You're right. I mean, I'm looking at some of the lineups in the fourth quarter. Fox, Ellis, Colby, McDermott, Len. He went with Len to start the quarter. Mm-hmm. And then went back to Isaac Jones after Len did not look good. So then Fox, Monk, Ellis, Doug, and Isaac. You had Ellis, Monk, Colby, DeMar Sabonis. You're just really, really undersized there. And I think those guys, specifically Ellis and Colby, battled their asses off at times to try to make some things happen tonight. But you're just at a severe disadvantage in those situations. And that's disappointing. And now you just hope that Keegan and Herter aren't like out for extended periods of time.
Yeah, but and you just don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know, and it's tough. All NBA teams go through these challenges, and are going through some of these injuries right now. But I think the issue with the Kings roster is that there just hasn't been enough time with the depth in the rotations where it looks good enough for the next man up mentality to actually like be something and work, where I feel like we've seen in the past, even under Mike Brown, where it's like, oh, they have some depth with some guys out, you know, like they still have the same style. Even if De'Aaron isn't in, you still can rely on Malik to push the ball with pace, whatever. And it seems very difficult when guys keep going down for the Sacramento Kings. And I think that has a lot to do with some roster construction.
All right, we got more to talk about coming up. We got to look ahead to the next game. Kings take on the Lakers Thursday. More time off until the Lakers come to town. Lakers are here for two games in a row. Wow. And then the Pacers come to town. You got to win the next three.
Okay.
Is there a problem with what I just said?
There's not.
You got to win the next three.
Okay, you got it, Slugger.
We should tell you that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Turtle Beach. Turtle Beach has so much gaming equipment. It's not even funny, Morgan.
It's not. It's like all gaming equipment. And I'm like, okay, what's going to work for me? Oh, the headphones. And the headphones I have connected to my MacBook, and I absolutely love them. They drown out all the noise whenever Deuce is talking to me, so I can't hear anything that he's saying.
They're the Gen 3 Stealth 700 headsets, Morgan. Sounds like an intense name.
It is.
Because it has such an intense sound.
True.
For a limited time only, head to turtlebeach.com and use code DMPOD for 10% off your entire order. That's 10% off your order at turtlebeach.com with promo code DMPOD. Don't delay. Get the perfect gift now. Happy holidays from Turtle Beach. Also presented by our friends over at Mother Restaurant in Sacramento, 2319 K Street. Such an elite restaurant. And if you have not checked it out, you need to check it out ASAP. Actually, this would be a good week to do it. You could always order online at mothersacramento.com or just go in. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. It's in such a great part of town. There's so much to do over there. And you can go in before Kings games and you can get 50% off all drinks before Kings game. So go pregame with your mother. And otherwise, that's like Deuce said, just go in anytime. It's fantastic food.
That's mothersacramento.com. Also presented by our friends of our Golden One Credit Union. We are all one with Golden One. How awesome is it to be a Golden One member? You could scan that QR code on your screen or go to goldenone.com. How about the perks you get for being a Kings fan? You can join and get up to 50% off Kings home games in their online discount ticket portal. Yaka Pertle.
Yeah, no, he has nothing to do with Golden
One.
Yeah.
It's a portal, not
it's a portal.
Yaka Pertle.
Yeah, he said, leave my name out of this.
Good. Also, 15% off Kings merch as well using your Golden One credit card.
There's so many perks to being a Golden One Credit Union member. And all you have to do is sign up. You can use that QR code on the screen. Sign up today and your financial life will just be so much better.
Check out goldenone.com. That's how you win as one. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. You're looking for new windows. There's no better place to go. Check out their showroom. Feel out what you maybe want for your house. Make it more energy efficient. Make it look better. Make it safer with your
windows. Someone came up to me today and was like, oh my God, I was looking at my windows and I'm thinking, oh, I should probably get some new ones, but I don't know the price. I'm like, yo, just get a free quote from Northwest Exteriors. Seriously, like, it's so not intimidating. And once you do get that quote, you can actually understand what you can or cannot do. And you might end up just saving way more money by getting windows. That's what I've done.
Yeah, so check out their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Good job.
What's our tone been like today? What do you think?
I think we started on a high note, and then once we started really talking about the game, it went to a downer, and then I tried bringing it back up with what I enjoyed, like, just going back to the overall, like, this game was entertaining. I had fun as an NBA fan watching tonight's game, but then as a Kings fan, it was just crushing in those few final plays. It was exciting and crushing, right? Because you had De'Aaron going to the basket, you had De'Aaron hitting a three, you had Jamal Murray then knocking down the midi, and then the Kings fumbling that final play. And so it's like, yeah, you were on that little roller coaster at the end. I'd rather be there than it have been a 20-point game for the entire game.
Yeah, not rolling obviously. Over is great. Yeah. But I think we're all like, I think we all can agree on this. We're not like, hey, you know what? Not a bad loss tonight. That's a moral victory. It's like, no. We don't do it. You have expectations. Like, you've got to win these games, especially at home. And, you know, they play a lot of games at home coming up. I think after tonight, it's 7 of the next 8 at home. They do not leave California for a game until they play the Celtics on January 10th. So after all this travel, all these back-to-backs early, a condensed schedule, they've had a lot of time here. They're going to be in California, a lot of home games. You have to capitalize on this opportunity, and you got to clean this shit up fast. Now, I feel like overall, you look at the last 6-7 games, I do think Sacramento is playing better basketball. I think I've seen enough sample size of Malik Monk in the starting lineup, and I'm like, looks great. And you know what? This was the right decision. I think he has proven that he gets his offense to another level to reach kind of its max potential as a group. His ability to push the pace, what he did tonight, pushing, relentlessly attacking, setting up his teammates. I loved how he played tonight and how he has been playing.
Yeah. I think something that I kept talking about with the way that he's been starting games is like, oh man, he sets the tone right away. Tonight, the tone wasn't set by anyone right away, right? It was just not pretty from the Sacramento Kings from the start. But when things started going in the right direction, Malik Monk had a lot to do with that. I think it just the punch of energy that he can bring when he does get things going. And I mean, from the other games, if you go back to the other games and how he does start off the games and helps this offense keep pushing the basketball, but also being willing to play a style that can work for DeMar, but being willing to play a style that can work for him in the two-man game with Sabonis. Yeah, it's so versatile. It's exciting with Malik. And I'm really happy that they went in that direction.
And it's a shame that Herter and Murray go down. Keegan missed this game with left ankle soreness. And it was like a last minute thing we found out about.
Yeah.
He was on the injury report at the beginning of the day. And then Kevin Herter, the shoulder he got surgery on, he took a big bump in that last game against New Orleans. He was clearly uncomfortable, and he missed tonight's game. He's going to be doubtful, maybe going forward, day-to-day at least going forward. It's a shame, too, because both those guys started to play better basketball. Herter over the last five games was shooting 41% from three, and then Keegan over the last six was shooting just under 39% from three. So it seems like those guys kind of gotten it going, too, and now they're out. You hope that with a few days off, they can be ready to go for the Lakers.
Yeah, and someone I saw in the chat asked about, like, why are the games so far apart, you know, in these the last 2 weeks? Well, the NBA Cup, obviously, last week, and new games being put on the schedule. Tonight's game was one of those new games put on the schedule for the Sacramento Kings, for the Denver Nuggets. And then this, the other spacing would be for the same thing, right? The people that ended up losing NBA Cup games in Vegas, just like having that space for them, just having flexibility for the schedule around this time.
They got to clean it up. It's got to have better balance. You can't be so like top heavy early.
Jam-packed.
Yeah, it's
early.
Insane. It's insane.
That was disgusting. Yeah. Too many in the beginning of this season.
A couple of notes. The Kings, after 27 games, sit at 13-14, but they're sixth in offense and 11th. Sixth in offense and 14th in defense. Sixth in offense and 14th in defense.
Really?
You're just like, you
That's
should
such
be
a
better
good,
than 13-14.
That's such a good place to be.
And I think that's why I'm like somewhat hopeful about the situation still. And like, you know, you're what now after tonight, 2.5 games out of the fifth spot.
Yeah.
But you have to start executing and knocking some of these games out. It was interesting to see after the game. I felt like immediately after the game, it looked like the Kings were kind of in good spirits.
Okay.
After the loss, yeah. Like seeing Sabonis, it was kind of like this, man, we thought we had that great play at the end of the game.
Yeah.
But Mike Brown's tone was completely different.
And that's
I'm
fine.
Wondering, like,
because, dude, he's like, the way you guys started, and then you come back in, and then you don't find a way, like, he said this, actually. We're shooting ourselves in the foot by not paying attention to the details. And that was even late, you know, that was even late in game, whether it was a turnover or a miscommunication on the defensive end. And it's like, what do you scratched and crawled to get back in this one. And then just a detail you're going to not lock in for a box out, a rebound, whatever, a closeout. And yeah, it's frustrating. And I don't blame him for feeling that frustrated. And I also don't blame the players feeling that same type or the joy and the spirit, because they probably had fun playing basketball tonight. They were like, that was a fun game to compete in.
The crowd
Sucks
was crazy.
Yeah.
Come back from a big deficit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this podcast has been all over the place. So if I've already asked this question and we've already broken this down, you can just make fun of me. Okay?
I love it.
That final play. I know we briefly mentioned
it.
But like,
it was
God,
beautiful.
Jay
Triano.
Look.
Riding that play up, sideline out of bounds.
Fox in the deep backcourt. Yep. They inbound to him. Sabonis comes up to set a screen, rolls. Fox finds him. You know, Sabonis has a path to the basket. The defense converges. Gordon, who was defending DeRozan, comes over to help, right?
Yeah.
And DeRozan's cutting. Sabonis sees
so
him. And he goes to him. He did have McDermott in the opposite corner,
sure,
too.
Sure.
He elects to go to DeRozan, who mishandles.
And this is the frustrating part. DeRozan, three possessions before, four, however many, had his first dunk of the season on the baseline, on the right side baseline. And then he's on the left side baseline, and he just fumbles the ball. At first, I thought it was Denver's defense. Nope. It was just like, I think he got excited, like, holy shit, I have this open lane. I'm going to take this ball and throw it down once again for my second dunk of the season. Nope.
And then he recovered it with time winding down, around, had a clean look, missed the shot. I already see the chat, pass it to Doug. Dude, in that situation, what DeRozan is doing, he just fumbled the ball, remember, it was like 8 seconds left when this play got started.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to get this shot up. He's not going to go like last thing. All right, let me go to the corner. Yep. This is like him under the basket, not knowing the clock, grabbing the ball and trying to make a play
as
he can.
Like, I liked it. No. Yeah, and it's like he can make that shot too. Yeah. He can make that shot in a difficult situation. He can make that shot with you know, time running out, doesn't matter. Like, he's a clutch player, yeah. And it was just, yeah, too much.
It was a great play. You missed the shot. You fumbled it, and then you missed the shot. Like, we can't get mad at the play because the shot didn't go in.
I wasn't.
And you got a good look.
No, I wasn't at all. I felt that, like, it wasn't like this disappointment, like, you guys failed us. It was just like a,
You had it.
Yeah.
God, I'm going to look it back at the play-by-play. So they're up. I mentioned they're up 10 with 3:55 to go. God, Denver scored 21 in the final four.
Terrible.
You're up 8 with 2:50 to go. Oh, my goodness. And then, you know, you're in the penalty, too. Murray goes the line, makes 2, gets it to 6. Fox misses a midi. That was a good look.
Mm-hmm.
Westbrook gets a layup.
That
one was way too easy, yep. It felt like. DeRozan misses a mid-range. Gordon hits an open 3. They cut it to 1. Sabonis forced a pass turnover. Then Jokic hits a jumper. Denver takes the lead. Timeout. You get McDermott back in there. Fox makes a jumper. Murray answers. Fox hits a 3. Kings go up 2 with 40 seconds. Then Jokic in that two-man game hits a 3. Goes up 1. DeRozan has that dunk cutting. You were just referencing. That was awesome. Kings go back up 1, timeout, Ellis back in, Murray hits the jumper. That looked like, did he push? Maybe, but it was a great play.
Yep.
Oh, dude.
It was, yeah.
Dude. Also, the chat mentioned this, and I think it's worth noting. Sabonis got fouled so hard in that game, hits the ground. They were going to try to take him out, and he said, don't take me out.
Wasn't he like screaming, like, don't take me out, don't take me
He's
out.
He's such a badass.
I know.
He may not be the perfect big that you want because he's not long, but this guy plays his ass off. He is tough. He is physical, and he went at the best player in the game today on both ends.
And that's why, like, I don't sit here again. I don't sit here pleased because of how the Kings came back in this one and how Sabonis played. I sit here entertained by what I witnessed tonight, and it's not just it's again satisfying to the point of a basketball fan, but still soul crushing as a Kings fan is the best way I could put it. It's a very strange, I feel both things right now, but let's go back to it. You gotta win on your home floor, and that's where the crushing part comes in.
Who would be your simply the best player of the game?
Domas.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Sabonis, 28 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 12 of 20 shooting, 1 of 3 from downtown. He also played just under 42 minutes in this game. Domas Sabonis are simply the best player of the game. Also, real fast, Jason Ross, I had this stat. This is crazy.
Ooh,
we mentioned the 21 points in the final 4 minutes. Yeah. Wow. Denver, a perfect 7 for 7 during that stretch.
Wow.
7 for 7, 4 for 4 at the free throw line. Sacramento, 4 of 9, 10 points. Literally perfect from the Denver Nuggets. 7 of 7.
It's what they had to do. It's what they had to do to win that game. And I mean, they have champions on their team. They've done this shit before.
Yeah. Some people were mentioning that maybe McDermott should have got some love. Yeah, Doug McDermott tonight, 16 points. He was 6 of 9, shooting 4 of 7 from downtown. So it was great to see him hit some big threes. In fact, when Sacramento had their big quarter of 47 points in the second, he had 3 of those threes. Sacramento started 1 of 11 from 3 in this game, and then Doug got him going in that second quarter. The other guy that's like an honorable mention tonight, Keon Ellis, dude, 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, 5 blocks, 3 deflections, played 32 minutes. He was
everywhere.
Physical, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked some of the action that we saw from the bench guys. And just stepping up in that way was encouraging. But how can you?
Yeah.
Translating that into a W on your home floor.
Malik had 25 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. De'Aaron finished with 29 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. The offensive numbers, A lot of good ones tonight. A lot of good ones tonight. But you didn't get a job. Get the job done defensively. In the chat, Sergio says, can we please get a good old Deuce dad slash grandpa joke, please, so I can fall asleep tonight? Like doing a dad joke? Are you calling my jokes dad jokes? Or are you saying I need to make fun of my dad or my grandpa? Because I could go both ways.
Dead,
I'm very versatile.
Dead
I can go
grandpa?
Dark. My dead dad, too, huh? Well, he's dead to me. Right? You know, people, right? All right, okay. Here's something that was funny that happened at the game tonight.
That's all I got. Yeah?
We had a podcast listener. Maybe she's watching right now.
Okay.
Fan of the show, fan of the Kings, give us...
Oh, the Sprout clip.
A Sprout clip. And you're going, okay, what are you saying? What is a Sprout clip? It was a Sprout on...
It was like a green...
A clip.
Yeah.
And... She said it was for good vibes. So, you know, for me, Kings are trying to get back in this game. I'm like, let's put this on.
We
I'm wearing a
put
Sprout.
It on.
I'm like, it looks awkward on me. I'm good vibes. You say it's good vibes. Let's go. Kings lost. I threw that thing on the ground in 2 seconds.
That's so messed up.
Because it's bad vibes to me.
No, but dude, that's not what it's about.
What do you mean?
Bro, it's like.
Don't bro me.
You're supposed. You what? You what?
I was going to say something about your age.
Okay, weirdo. It's about giving, like, something that is just positive and that gives good vibes. And do you realize after she gave us those Sprout clips, whatever the hell they're called, so sorry, I don't remember, that it was... The Kings started playing well.
Yeah.
And they gave us a good game. And so it was still good vibes.
I asked ChatGPT.
Of course he did.
Are sprouts considered good luck? Yes, sprouts are often considered symbols of good luck and new beginnings in some cultures. Their association with growth, renewal, and prosperity comes from their rapid sprouting and ability to thrive, representing hope and a fresh start.
Love that.
For example, in Chinese culture, bean sprouts are sometimes linked to vitality and wealth because of their growth symbolism. In general traditions, anything that grows quickly and abundantly like sprouts is seen as a positive omen. If you're thinking of incorporating them for good luck, they can also bring health benefits, a win-win. Wow. On tonight's case, a loss, loss. It was very sweet.
I was cheering. No, that was very sweet. And I'm glad that the Kings battled through after that. Just needed one more sprout.
Oleg, yeah, appreciate the donation. Super chat, 7 lead changes in the final minute 15. That hurts, yes. SGA Sports Talk Channel is a member for 2 straight months.
Thank
Jacob
you.
Donates saying, beamless night?
It is a beamless night.
I don't think that's what they were looking for.
Like the song?
Yeah, maybe at the end. Yeah.
I mean, you can't. I'm not going to just sing it like every single time that they lose.
Wow. Okay.
It's a beamless night as I lay here sleepless. Beamless night and I'm waiting for you. There's no victory when you're not shining. And now my soul is as dark as the sky. And maybe I don't even need you. And maybe I don't want to see you. Maybe I'm just nothing but a dream. Because it's a beamless night as I lay here sleepless. It's a beamless night as I'm waiting for you. There's no victories when you're not shining. And now my sun is as dark as the sky.
Can you give me a sad version?
Like a R&B song?
No, a sad version of that. I don't know. Whatever your interpretation is.
It's a beam, beam, beamless night. You know what's funny? I was thinking of a like, blue Christmas for some reason.
I was just thinking of more of like a slowed down version. It's a beamless. I don't know.
Oh. It's a beamless night as I lay here sleepless.
Are you dying?
Yeah,
this is you on life support at the end of the game? Also, Morgan at the end of the game, you know, there's the video of me freaking out during the game. I couldn't manage to take a video of this. I wish I did. She has her jacket on because she's cold, but literally she looks like...
No, I don't have my hood on.
She looks like...
I was doing this.
Yeah, but the way you were covered, it kind of looked like you were Kenny from South Park. Like, you were totally, like, covered and just like, I can't watch this. I saw people watching you and, like, looking at you during this time, and it was just hilarious.
Well, I was just... Sometimes, like, when I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch, and then I pretend like I'm not watching, but really I'm just watching through my fingers, thinking that, like, good luck, something's going to happen, but I'm watching anyway. It's really dumb. I used to do that when I was little. I don't know why I do that as a professional broadcaster.
I do want to ask that, like, what? in these tight moments when a game does get tight,
yeah,
it's like, oh no, could it be falling apart? For you to just, like, believe a little more, just have the belief, even if you get let down. I just don't feel it for
me. Why do you think I close my eyes? Because I used to do that in the early 2000s, and it was like, okay, if I close my eye on this free throw, Mike Bibby's going to make it. Like,
I guess my point is, like, when going back to how we started tonight, when I'm planning for us to interview Sabonis after the game, and then you, after the Denver Nuggets, I cut it to three, were like...
So, again...
No, but you were, like, trying to plan for the worst.
Game planning.
But just know, I'm going to be ready for the worst.
But here's the thing.
I don't want to plan for that.
That's great, but I want to be great. I want to be great on the broadcast, whether they win or lose. And for me, I knew you had a game plan for if they win. And I was like, that's so great. I'm so happy. But if they lose, I said, where do we go? How do I start? Where do we go with this? So then I start the fucking show going... just taking a deep breath and telling everyone the score. Like, it's just so hard for me to gather my emotions, and I need a game plan for if they lose. And that's why I was game planning. I know you look at it as a negative thing.
I just don't need a plan for a loss, because in my head, I'm like, I'm not thinking about a loss right now. I'm watching them. They're going to win this game. That's what I want, the energy. I don't even want to think about it. And if they lose, we'll address it then. Just trust.
We'll address it. Then the show starts, and then I'm addressing it, and I'm just taking deep breaths for everyone at home.
Oh my God.
Like, what do you want me to do?
Next up for the Sacramento Kings, the LA Lakers come to town. LeBron did return to the Lakers lineup in a win over Memphis. And he was off for 8 days, missed 2 games. They said personal reasons, but then it was ankle. Who knows what was going on? But LeBron is back. He has said that the ankle issue he's having is just an issue he's going to have to live with. The Lakers have been up and down. They're sitting, I believe, at 14-12 right now, and they come to Sacramento for 2 games. Kings actually see them 3 times, I think, over like a 10-day span or something, twice in Sacramento and once in LA. This Lakers team, like a lot of teams in the West, flawed.
Yeah.
Not playing great basketball.
Sure.
But it's LeBron James. It's Anthony Davis. And last time you faced him in LA, the Lakers at one point go on a 21-0 run. So it's going to be a pretty wild atmosphere come Thursday night.
Yeah, it is. Especially because you know how it is in Sacramento. Whole bunch of Kings fans maybe sell their tickets overpriced to Lakers fans, which I love. Take their money. But then all these stupid yellow jerseys are in the building, and that part really sucks. And at the same time, if you're the Sacramento Kings, okay, maybe you play better on the road. And it feels like a road game at times. Whatever it is for you, I don't care. Just play basketball the right way on the floor, right? And that's like Mike Brown said. Paying attention to the details, but that's also putting bodies on some of these big old bodies out there in Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And I'm nervous. I'm absolutely nervous. I don't care where the Lakers are with their ups and downs. LeBron James is back, and it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, this is just a crucial part of the Kings season. And, you know, I'm not trying to like go wild here, but we mentioned all the home games coming up here. By the time the Kings hit the road January 10th, the first game out of California against the Boston Celtics, they've had to play the Lakers twice. Then you go to the Pacers, Pistons. Those are home games. At LA for the Lakers, home for Dallas, Philly, Memphis. Those are two of those games are really tough at Golden State, then home for Miami. You have to take advantage of the schedule, because if you don't, we're going to be faced with a team that's well below 500 headed into the new year.
Yeah. Mm. And then we'll be right back to where we were feeling, you know, six games ago, five games ago, whatever it was, when everything was doom and gloom.
I don't think it's going to get there. I don't. I think we're in a spot where they got to figure out how to win close games. They're competing. It seems like the offense is better. I think they're going to get together. That's where I'm at tonight.
I love that game plan.
I may change my mind when I go back and watch the game in the morning. But at this moment, I'm like, all right, come on. Let's clean it up.
Yeah. I think they are a team that is together, which is huge. It's a good start. It's a good thing to have. How can you channel that togetherness into translating more W's, you know? Because it's you're playing some good basketball with it. Good spurts of basketball. How do you keep on translating that into full games against good teams? Because that's what we saw tonight. Them playing a good team in the Western Conference.
Yeah, any final thoughts, Morgan?
Final thoughts. It's going to be a wild next week. And buckle up.
Morgan is headed to Orlando for the G League Winter Showcase. But she will still be going back and watching the games.
Yeah. You say going back. There will only be one day that I have to go back, right?
Okay. Sorry. One game that Morgan has to go back.
All the other ones are just after my games.
So she will still be a part of Night Chat. But she's going to be in Orlando for those. I'll be on NBC Sports California, I think. Thursday, I'm with Chelsea Gray.
And Kyle, I think.
And then the next game, I'm with just Chelsea.
Correct.
Yeah, the point guard in the building.
Point guard.
So have fun there, Morgan.
Thanks.
She's going to be doing games that are going to be airing all over the place. So stay tuned to her social media so you know.
Stay tuned.
Superstar broadcaster Morgan Reagan doing sidelines and analyst work for the NBA G League Showcase. Let's go. My final thought. All right, let this one sting a little bit, Kings fans. But get ready for Thursday. Let's get back to 500. We love you guys so, so, so much, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. Thanks for being here. See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.